Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. Do you remember the days when you had to put your kids in time out, or for older kids you had to ground them for misbehaving? Did you ever feel like after issuing that kind of punishment that maybe you were being punished too? You know, Ron and I several years ago had our granddaughter for the day. She was only 8 years old then, and she was just having a really bad day. And she was disobedient and cranky and sassy, and we tried every behavior modification technique we could find, but to no avail. So, last resort, we had to put her in time out. What we had planned for that day, well, it was now on hold as she served her sentence, so to speak. And I remember thinking it felt like we were being punished too, because we couldn't go anywhere for a while, and the plans for the entire day had to be altered. Well, thankfully, we all survived that, and you know, we didn't have to revisit timeout with our granddaughter ever again, thankfully. That was enough for her. But it illustrates the point that one person's sin has far-reaching consequences. You know, it was something that Joshua and the people of Israel discovered as well. It was just after a great victory at Jericho. They had had fantastic success at Jericho. Everything had gone exactly as God had planned. The Lord had been with Joshua and the people throughout the battle, and they came out victorious, just as God had promised. It was such an overwhelming victory, such an overwhelming success, that all the other nations heard about it, and Joshua's fame spread throughout the land. Things were going really, really well. Again, it had been a great success. So, with this success under their belts, the next step for God's people was to continue to settle in the promised land. And so their next obstacle in their way was the small village of Ai, and they would need to conquer Ai. Well, as Joshua had done previously, he sent some spies into Ai to check out the conditions. Well, the spies came back with a favorable report. It was a really small village, and it would not require the full strength of the army to defeat it like they had done at Jericho. Just a few thousand men would be able to easily conquer Ai. So Joshua sent orders to proceed with 3,000 men to go take Ai. But things did not go well, and the army was routed by little Ai. And as a matter of fact, 36 of Israel's fighting men were killed that day, and the remainder fled the village in retreat. Well, when they returned back, everyone was stunned by the defeat. Why had this happened? I mean, they had conquered a much greater foe at Jericho. What happened? Well, unbeknownst to Joshua, there was unconfessed sin among the people of Israel, specifically from a man named Achan, who had taken some of the spoils of war from Jericho after the victory, and God had strictly prohibited that. He had given strict orders to Joshua, and Joshua had told the people to take nothing from Jericho. But Achan had not obeyed, and he stole some treasured things. Well, God does not take sin lightly, and he did not take this sin lightly, as Joshua and the people were about to discover. Joshua, at the news of the rout and the defeat, was overcome with sorrow, especially because it had led to the deaths of 36 soldiers. Joshua fell on his face before the Lord in sorrow. He spent all day in prayer. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua. We read this on in Joshua chapter 7. Starting in verse 6, "Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Ammonites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of Jordan. Oh, Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they'll surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?' The Lord said to Joshua, 'Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. And they've put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They've turned their backs and run, because they've been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So go, consecrate the people, and tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it.'" Yes, that's trouble. After such a great victory, and Joshua was not aware that Achan had stolen some of the devoted things. But God took sin very seriously. And the trouble with success is then there's the next step. And we've got to keep doing the right thing, even with the next step. And something to note that we didn't read is that Joshua was not on his face before the Lord prior to going into Ai. No, we see him on his face before the Lord after, but not before. Was he caught up in the fame, the success of the great victory at Jericho? Was he reading the newspaper clippings of his victory and forgot to pray? Could the results at Ai have been different if he had? Well, certainly God could have told Joshua about Achan's sin before Ai, but Joshua did not seek the Lord prior to going into Ai, so we're left to wonder. The Lord's words to Joshua after the defeat at Ai were definite, and they directed him to go on a search for the one who had committed this sin. And through this process, Achan was identified. And God was very specific about how this sin was to be punished. Achan, his family, and his livestock were stoned to death, and they were buried along with the items that he had stolen. Now, wait a minute, you might say. His family and his animals were punished too? Yes, God takes sin seriously. This is a hard lesson that God was teaching his children. God didn't always punish this way, but he did this time. As Dr. Lutzer writes in his book, Conquering the Fear of Failure, no one person's sin is ever his business alone. It always affects others. He goes on to write this in his book on page 104. Children who were reared in dysfunctional families must be taught that God is able to break these negative influences. But even then, these parental influences can crop up unexpectedly, so a child must guard against special temptations and weaknesses. No parent can say that his or her sin is no one else's business. No matter how secret the sin is, its effects spill over to the lives of others. Thankfully, Christ is able to break the destructive influences of family relationships. Well, that's the good news, that God is able. but there are still consequences. Sin has far-reaching consequences, and we're to keep in mind that we can be most susceptible after a great victory, after success. And you know, we can look at our culture and see the effects of one person's sin impacting innocent lives. For example, a driver high on pot who wrecks his car into another car with a mom taking her children to school and kills them all. Far-reaching consequences. Or the thieves who repeatedly steal merchandise off store shelves, ultimately causing the small store to have to close down and the employees lose their jobs. For what? Why? Consequences. And the husband who has an affair and ruins his marriage and loses his family. Far-reaching consequences. We see the results of sin and its consequences every day. But we're also mindful that our own sin, especially hidden and unconfessed sin, also have consequences that reach beyond us. Dr. Lutzer writes this on page 111. He writes, "Hidden sin has done more to weaken our spiritual lives than all the pressures of life we often complain about. Hidden sin has sapped our energy, diminished our witness, and ruined our families. If all the hidden sins in our lives were suddenly exposed, we would be shocked, wondering how we ever made it this far spiritually." Finally, he writes, "Hidden sin makes it impossible for us to claim the promises of God. Try as we might, we cannot believe God for the help we seek as long as we avoid the pain of humble confession." Proverbs 28:13 states, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." The God of compassion forgives our sins when we confess them and humble ourselves before him. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.